It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, was the bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People will ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to, are they going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
I think you said earlier, off the air, that you were doing some outdoor homework today. Gutters or what was it?
Hedges.
Hedges.
Hedges. There's a... Yeah, the ladder, I've got, you know, this long-reaching hedge trimmer that's, like, barely, it's so cumbersome you can barely manage to use it because it weighs just enough that you can, like, okay, gotta stop.
It's, like, it's too heavy.
Really long. I mean, it's, I don't know. I mean, I guess I could invest in, like, a, I don't know, they make these things out of titanium or something, like golf club technology hedge trimmer. That would be helpful to me because this thing weighs, like, 80 pounds and I'm just outstretched and it's, yeah, but I did it. So I was joking with you. I texted you and said, cause it's been so hot in here, earlier this week, it's been fixed, but like I'm trying to work up my tolerance. So I went outside and did like I like doing the stuff around the house, the yard work. This is the one thing I don't like doing, getting up on the ladder, reaching, like, everything hurts after I do this job, but I like, I gotta do it. It's gotta get done. Kids are at work. It's a nice day. It's not that hot.
Kids are at work.
Anyway.
Paul Hamilton with us. Paul, are you a hedge guy? Do you have any advice here?
I did mine today, some of them.
Look at this.
All right.
Look at you two.
Because it's garbage day, so the clippings get to go out.
Yeah.
And then I get an empty empty tote container tomorrow to finish up with. So
yep.
I can't get all the clippings in one tote, so I have to.
Boy, you and me are hive mind on when the garbage day is. I hate it when like big packages. I'm just as guilty as anyone in the house. Like, I order a guitar online and it comes shipped, and it's like, you know, there's more cardboard than a pizza place goes through in a month when you get a guitar shipped to you, and like, it came Thursday afternoon. I gotta wait a week for the cardboard. I'm very.
Yeah, that does sound like you.
Yeah. I'm glad to know Paul.
Let it sit there for a week. Who cares?
No, but no,
you can't. It still bothers you.
I can't do that.
No. See, now I don't. I might take mine six out, the cardboard and plastics and all that, maybe six times a year. I wait till I fill it up because nothing's going to spoil in there. It's cardboard and plastic.
Oh, look at you.
So it's like, why should I take it down until it's full? So
yeah.
I just wait till it's filled up and then I take that one down.
I got one problem, Paul. Beer cans.
Don't you go back and get your nickels?
No,
or whatever,
I just put them out there and somebody comes in.
You do, really?
Yeah. Yeah, I've been doing that for years. Yeah, anyway. And I don't have that many beer cans. I don't drink that much at home anymore anyways. But
so we have a Sabres trade.
Moving along. Yes, we do, Paul.
Yes.
Paul, I bet it doesn't shock you that Kesselring is gone already.
No, and he's never, to my knowledge, publicly asked to be traded, but I'd be probably pretty surprised if he didn't ask. He did say to us in the media that, you know, when he was the healthy scratch as the season was winding down and again in the playoffs, he did say he disagreed with the way Lindy Ruff was handling it. But I will tell you this, in practice, he gave it his all. I mean, he did not slough off in practice or he kept himself ready. You know, he at least wasn't pouting on the ice when he was out there for practice and that type of thing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he's trying to get back in the lineup. And, you know, all of a sudden, Timmins is now ahead of him. And then Metz is ahead of him. And then
Stanley's and Shen ahead of him. Get here. Yeah,
and then
right.
Shen's ahead of him.
Right.
And they're all like bouncing ahead of him after – because of injury. Now, let's all be honest here. I mean, he never had a chance to become the defenseman he was in Utah with Team USA because he was hurt in training camp. And then he came back too early. He admitted that. And he didn't have his speed. He didn't have his strength. And while this all was happening, number one, because the trade was almost not quite to the day. It was the 26th last year. And we're on the 17th.
Okay.
So it's almost to the day a year ago. But back then, Byram hadn't signed a two-year deal yet. And I don't think he had yet.
And Samuelson was
and
like
Samuelson
MIA.
Samuelson hadn't emerged
right
into what we saw many nights. He was Buffalo's best defenseman. So he was the cog. Now, sure, Kevin Adams very smart, wisely wasn't going to make the trade without Doan being thrown in there. But Kesselring is who he wanted to be a right-handed shooting defenseman to play, pair with Power, to be in the top four. And that's, and had he not been injured, he probably would have gotten that opportunity to do that. But being injured just took that opportunity away, and by that time, there no longer is a top four position for him, depending on what Byram winds up doing. He has one more year left on the deal, so he'll be with Buffalo for sure next year. But Kekalainen has already said he's very interested in re-signing him long-term because he believes that you start from the back end out. He also believes the Sabres have the best top four defense in the league. I think you could argue that for or against.
Mm-hmm. It's not crazy to say, though.
No, not at all. He could be right.
Yeah.
I mean, you, as I said, you could argue it for or against. And so the best Kesselring could do right now is try to work himself in the bottom pair, but I think Lindy Ruff likes Timmins better than Kesselring.
I don't think there's any question about that. I mean, the choice is made, I'll tell you that, without anyone having to say it at a news conference.
It was the playoffs.
Yeah.
It wasn't game 71 of a lost season.
Like, right.
It was the playoffs. Got your best guys.
They used everyone they could ahead of him.
And so, the one game he played less than 5 minutes. What was it, 425, I think?
Right.
Actually, in that 425, I actually liked him. He made two good plays, I remember writing in my notes, but he only played for, you know, a little bit. So he saw the writing on the wall here. Lindy Ruff has a contract extension. I think if you're Michael Kesselring, you're thinking you're not Lindy Ruff's guy, and you're not going to be Lindy Ruff's guy. So let's get a new start somewhere else. And I read when you're talking about value, it's about a middle second round pick moving up from 27 to 20th. So, you know, that's
– Yep.
And then the question is, are you looking for a trade that maybe the other team wants 20th instead of 27th?
Yeah.
You know?
I don't want to cut it too fine and be like have it be too convenient here, and maybe it's overthinking. But, yeah, it's trade season, you know. It could be that Kekalainen has talked to a team or 10 teams. And 27, you give me to 20, you know, maybe that opens a door. And that has value in a big deal,
sure.
You know? So I want to be hopeful for that this is – because otherwise it's really just a dump. Like, if you're picking 20th and 20th instead of 27th, recognizing that, you know, there's – you know, obviously it's seven picks higher. There's some value there. I just hope it's a bigger – there's something bigger in mind here. Because otherwise I'm just – I dumped what could have been and should have been even a useful player – to move up seven spots in the draft, and I just don't think that would be smart. So I'm expecting, I can't say I'm expecting that it's a flip.
I wouldn't be dumping on Kevin Adams myself here because he can't predict three injuries for a guy that they thought was going to step in and be a good defenseman. And let's face it, Kevin Adams also, and both GMs have confirmed this, would not make the trade without Doan being in on the trade.
Right.
And when Doan came here, Adams, one of the first things he says, he goes, we see an upside with Doan. I don't know if he saw 25 goals in his first year here.
And a seven-year contract extension before Christmas or whenever that was.
Yeah. You know, so I give him credit for that he wasn't going to make the trade without Doan. Even though Doan wasn't the main cog at the time, he is going to turn into the main cog. He and Peterka both had 25 goals, but Doan had four more assists, and I'll take what Doan brings on the ice any day of the week over what Peterka. I don't care if Peterka scores 35 and Doan scores 25.
Yep.
I'll take what Doan brings on the ice every day of the week over what Peterka brings on the ice. So even without Kesselring in it, as I said, I would not rip on Adams at all, saying, well, this failed because of Kesselring. Well, you can't predict three fairly major injuries that kind of took him out of this season.
Do you have a fresh Alex Tuch take? Has anything changed for you in the last week or two on him?
No, you know, we've talked about, you know, the, you know, I was just, you know, sat down with the age thing.
You wrote about that. I don't know if you talked to him, Mike. I was off Monday. That's fresh. I heard you talking to Jaron Joe about this.
Well, it was a number of things. We had talked about what he had talked about in his press conference, talking about sports science, which is true, and Lindy Ruff does talk to sports science and believes in it, and that older players are becoming a little more, you know, I want to say useful
young.
Or, you know, it's keeping up, you know, not falling off is what I'm trying to say. So then Staal goes out at 37 years old, scores 20 goals this year, scores in five consecutive games in the finals, and wins the Conn Smythe. So I said, okay, I got to sit down and start looking at some of the older players and how they produced this year. As far as, you know, I didn't look at goalies, but as far as skaters, Burns and Perry are the oldest two at 41. Brett Burns plays all 82 games for Colorado, did score 12 goals from defense. And Corey Perry with L.A. and Tampa gets 17 goals at age 41. Ovechkin at age 40 scores 32. Malkin has 61 points in 56 games at age 39. A guy, you know, I thought, look at Matt Zuccarello. He's 38. He got 54 points in 59 games for Minnesota. Marchand is still 54 points in 52 games at age 38. Staal, we already talked about. Even if you want to go back 2 years, Stamkos is 36. He scored 42 goals this year. So maybe with the technology and the types of things that sports science brings to the game, maybe 38 isn't necessarily a death sentence in hockey anymore for a hockey player. And we have no way of knowing what Tuck is going to be at age 38, but you know me. You guys have been around me long enough. I was always the guy going, you don't sign guys and still at age 38. That's just crazy. You just don't do that. And now I'm the one saying, maybe you do that because things have changed. And Tuck used the example of Landeskog, you know, talking about he felt 5 years ago Landeskog probably his career would have been over. He goes, but with the technology and with the treatments and the things and the sports science and the way things are done now, he was able to resurrect his career at a high level and be Landeskog again.
And he was
now,
out
he's
a
only,
long
what,
time.
32 or 33 years old, right. But still, that was the example he used.
Right. Well, unfortunately, none of this changes whether the Sabres want to pay him 10.5 or more a year for 8 years, but it's good to have in your hip pocket, right?
Well, the other thing I looked up is the Stamkos year, which was 2016, when he was the free agent. He signed on the 29th of June.
Right.
And that made Poso the best free agent. And remember last year, Besser got to free agency.
And then went back.
And
to
a half seven. Hour into free agency, went back to Vancouver, could only get 7 years because he had hit free agency and re-signed with Vancouver. So just because it's June 17th and Tuck hasn't and they're still far apart, that doesn't mean things can't move.
Right.
Because we have seen examples where it has. Now, if the $8.5 million figure is correct, if that's all the Sabres are offering, I think that's a total embarrassment to Tuck. But is that also a negotiating ploy? All right, we'll offer him $8.5 million, and on the 29th, we'll offer him $10 million or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, who knows? You know, I'm not a negotiator. I don't know, but I just don't. If I'm Alex Tuck, it's just you're not taking $8.5 million if that figure is correct.
Paul, thanks for this. We'll talk again next week, maybe
very soon, or maybe even on Friday. Paul.
Yeah, draft is next week.
Keep your phone on, Paul. Paul's appearance with us here on WGR brought to you by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this.
Brian Koziol joining us after the update at 6 o'clock on a word or two on this trade, I'm sure, and then also the Pick 10. Oh, it's that day. The day before a golf major. Bulldog has the honor. You're on the tee this week.
I'm loose. I did all my stretching. Yeah, I
don't be late like that one guy.
I stretch
was.
At home. I'm not the guy that gets out to the first tee box and pulls his driver and starts doing the. I stretch at home. I have an assistant.
Do people make that noise when they do that?
Yes, they
generally
usually do. Yes.
All right.
I even do it when I'm pretending to do it.
Like just now?
Yes.
So Brian again at 6. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog WGR.